Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
This is part of my bigger series, Liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction. One of the ways to apostasy, as we've seen last week, is through so-called Christian magazines. And the first magazine we have been looking at is what I have referred to as in the category of the lunatic fringe, and it's known as Charisma. G. Richard Fisher has appropriately, I think, entitled it as the Mad Magazine of Christianity. And as we looked at last week, as we're going through, we're going to be looking at, of course, several so-called Christian magazines. We'll be spending a little time with Charisma over the next couple of weeks, or at least last week, this week, and maybe next week. But we have looked at, in the last episode, we looked at earlier Charisma magazines that endorsed and had advertisements from the Seventh-day Adventists, which is, of course, a non-Christian cult. And they have featured a Jonathan Kahn article also, and of course we spoke a little bit about his connection to the Hebrew Roots movement last week. Now this week, I'd like to look at a little bit older issue. This is March 2012, Charisma. And the featured articles, the headliner articles, I suppose you could say, are and two people that we will be discussing in the course of this evening, is Randy Clark, who has a couple of articles in the magazine. One of them is called, well, the cover story says, "Where in the World is Revival?" But when you look into the magazine, it actually, the title is, The Revivalists, Fanning the Flames of the Holy Spirit, and Where in the World is Revival? And then, of course, there's a sub-article, a little article called God's Arsonists, and we'll be looking at that in just a minute. Now, the other featured individual in this particular magazine promoted by Charisma is Bill Johnson of Bethel Church in Redding, California, the notorious Bethel Church. And his headline, you know, big headlines on the cover of the magazine, "Be Healed, How to Ignite the Gift of Healing." He also has a sub-article, which I will pay some attention to, called "The Miracle Message." So without further ado, in case you're not familiar with Randy Clark, and I suspect that many of you are, his background has been with the Vineyards, the Toronto Blessing, and has had some connection to the Kansas City False Prophets. And from this magazine, well, before we get into the magazine article, I want to read a little bit from the website of Global Awakening, which is Randy Clark's ministry. And you'll see why as we go on later in my talk tonight. Global Awakening history. In January 1984, Randy Clark met John Wimber, founder of the Vineyard Movement, for the first time. John prayed for him and prophesied many encouraging words. Among those words, which Randy has never forgotten, were, "You are a prince in the kingdom of God." Although discouraged prior to receiving this prophecy, Randy was greatly encouraged afterward. A few months later, Randy discovered what else God spoke audibly to John that night. Audibly. When Randy asked why he had been put on the leadership council of the Vineyard when he had less than 50 people in the new church he was starting, and everyone else on the council had churches from 500 to 5,000, a close confidant of John Wimber told him, "John didn't invite you onto the council because of what you have done, but because of what God told him audibly you will do. You're going to go around the world and lay your hands upon pastors and leaders for impartation of the Holy Spirit and to stir up and impart the gifts of the spirits." Now, am I the only one in the room that gets a little bit uncomfortable when somebody says that God has spoken audibly? I mean, I can't tell you of how many cults and false groups that have started on the basis of supposedly God speaking audibly to someone. So that's very, very troubling to me right off the bat. But, you know, the fruit, you know, we'll see later of some of these movements really confirms that concern that one would have about God speaking to you audibly when, you know, God speaks very clearly through his word. I would just say, in other words, be very careful when somebody says, well, God told me, and not only told me, but he told me audibly, out loud, you know, as though the devil can't manifest deception along those lines. 10 difficult years, the article goes on to say, passed before this word from God was fulfilled. A few days after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the Toronto Airport Vineyard, which of course is known as the Toronto Blessing, which I'm sure many of my listeners are also familiar with, this infamous so-called revival, now called Catch the Fire, John Wimber called Randy. He said, this is the fulfillment of what God showed me about your life 10 years ago. The last time Randy met with Wimber, John gave him one more word. God told me audibly, there we go again, that you and one other were the two vineyard pastors who would go around the world laying your hands upon pastors and leaders to impart gifts of the Holy Spirit to them and to impart the Holy Spirit to them. Global Awakening, that's this ministry here, was birthed to Randy Clark in January 1994 as a result of God using him to bring the fire of revival to the Toronto, you know, catch the fire, to the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. This ministry was birthed in the greatest revival movement of the last half of the 20th century, a move of God resulting in the longest protracted meeting in the history of North America. During the first year, the blessing spread to 55,000 churches around the world. Today, over a decade later, the fire of the Toronto revival is still spreading. A revival in Mozambique, led by Roland and Heidi Baker, both known false prophets, has seen roughly 7,000 churches started, and over 1 million new believers have come into the kingdom of God. That's scary. This revival was birthed through a prophetic word Randy gave Heidi Baker in Toronto, accompanied by a powerful impartation of the Holy Spirit. The fire of this move of God in Toronto spread through the Bakers to the mission field of Mozambique, spanning over 10 African nations. Now remember, the Toronto Blessing is the place where spontaneous holy laughter and barking like a dog and animal sounds and all kinds of bizarre behavior and strange activities, lack of self-control, and really some really creepy things were going on. Randy's land of anointing, the country where he and his team have the most favor, is Brazil. In 4 years, approximately 100,000 healings occurred when Randy and Global Awakening teams prayed for the sick. Well, maybe. You know, I'll have to take his word on that, I guess. The favor of God has opened the entire nation of Brazil to the ministry of Global Awakening. Where once Global was ministering at small pastors' meetings in Sao Paulo, Brazil, now Randy receives invitations to speak in some of the largest soccer stadiums in the nation. Now, at this point, I want to move to the article in Charisma, God's Arsonist, the little sub-article. But, you know, you hear Randy Clark talking about revival fire, catch the fire, etc. And that's why he's using this term, God's arsonists. And he says, Randy Clark identifies the major leaders, both known and unknown, of the global revivalist community. He said, in this article in Charisma, shortly after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Toronto 18 years ago, the Spirit impressed upon me that he was going to send me all over the world to meet some of his greatest leaders, pastors, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. I will teach you about revival through these men and women and about what I am doing in the world, he said. I will teach you now what will be written 20 years from now in books and studied in seminaries to learn about revival. He goes on to say, in North America, I think no one is having a greater impact on the church worldwide than Bill Johnson, overseer of Bethel Church in Redding, California, through his apostolic anointing and revelationary teaching about healing and the culture of honor. In his ministry, he is seeing many healings and some inexplicable miracles, and no doubt not a few false prophecies, unfulfilled prophecies, among other things, as well as false healings are even non-existent. But anyway, I digress. Getting on track here. This was interesting to me as I continue to read this article, God's Arsonists. He says Brazil, and of course I mentioned earlier in the Global Awakening history how Brazil is a big area of work with Randy Clark and his ministry. It says, Brazil is ablaze with revival. Eluzio Silva has a church of 25,000 people. He goes on to say, Abe Huber in Fortaleza has a church of several thousand, but his former church that he turned over to another person has 55,000 people meeting in cell groups. Now, when I read the name Abe Huber, I stopped and I said, there's no way. Could that be the same Abe Huber that went to the same Bible college that I went to and that was there only about a year and a half of the time that I was there, who was extremely Pentecostal young man? And, you know, could it be the same guy? Well, I did a little research, and guess what? It actually is the same guy. And so I picked up some information about Abe, and guess what? He is not only involved in what's called Project Amazon in Brazil, but in his biography in that site, it says, after graduating from Columbia Bible College, of course, which is where I went and which is where I had seen Abe, even though I didn't know him personally, just knew of him, now Columbia International University. It says he went to work with Project Amazon. But more importantly to me, of course, was the article from Global Awakening, which is Randy Clark's ministry. And in this article, it says, a man of extraordinary faith, Pastor Abe Huber, grew up in the evangelical church. The strong call on his life led him to Columbia Bible College in South Carolina, USA, where he graduated with a BA in theology with a specialization in missions. You know, Columbia Bible College was a very strong mission school. It was very good for that, and a lot of good people came out of the Columbia Bible College. So I'm not knocking the school by mentioning Abe Huber having come out of there, but I am definitely knocking the ministry that Abe Huber, Randy Clark, and such are involved with here. Anyway, it says, since then, God has used him powerfully as a leader in the Church of Peace, first in Santarém and then in Fortaleza, or however you pronounce that, Fortaleza, which is the same thing, of course, has to be the same, in the article that I read in God's Arsonists. It says, where he currently serves, under his leadership and guidance, the church has grown explosively and now has over 6,000 cell groups with more than 50,000 people in attendance. He's an international speaker. He has traveled across the globe, emphasizing the importance of unity in the church, worship, impartation, healing, and the activation of spiritual giftings. And what is very interesting to me, because I don't, you know, like to make it a habit of, you know, discussing people that I know that have gone astray, except for the fact that, well, I don't really know Abe Huber, but basically to warn people that, you know, you're going to run across people in life and who, you know, go to the other side of the force. Or, no, I'm just using a little Star Wars reference there. But, you know, it's don't freak out too much when that happens. You know, I prayed for Abe Huber since I read this article and found out the inevitable about Abe, that he's gone down this path. But anyway, to get back to at the bottom of the page of that article I was just reading about Abe, they have, you know, an information about upcoming events and prophetic certification and dance revelation and all these other interesting, let's say, things. But they have two different links, Voice of the Apostles and Voice of the Prophets. And I'll just take the time to go to at the bottom of this page. And these are some of the prophets, or I should say, I'm sorry, the apostles, the voices of the apostles. And these are some of the speakers. Randy Clark, of course. Bill Johnson of Bethel. And, of course, we all know and love Benny Hinn, false teacher, false prophet, and false healer. Che On, pastor of Harvest Rock Church, which I was very familiar with when I lived in Pasadena. He was with Lou Engel of The Call, which is another. And all of these folks are a part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement, which is this movement that believes that there are apostles and prophets in the church today. And oh, by the way, if you are a prophet in this group, it's okay if you make false prophecies. Isn't that convenient? It may be convenient for them, but it's not going to be convenient for folks when they have to stand before Jesus, because Jesus is going to say, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? You know, sort of like all these things that we're hearing from these guys, these healings and miracles and all the stuff that they claim is going on. And then Jesus will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, you know, there's going to be a group of people, and I can't say I know exactly who they are, but I do know that just because people claim to be doing miracles and healings and all that good stuff, if they're false prophets and they're teaching heresy, there's a pretty good chance, in fact, there's a better than a pretty good chance, that they could be in that group of people that Jesus is speaking about there, which is very solemn. And it's the tragic for those who that Jesus is going to say that to. But we have to warn the Lord's sheep against those who are going to be coming in deception. And remember what 1 Timothy 4 says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, there's a lot of people who will lie to you about their prophecies and their healings and all the great things that they've done. They actually will. They'll lie to you, and they'll lie to you because their consciences have been seared, and they have been led astray by seducing spirits, demons who are going to impart through them. They're going to impart through them. They like to use that term, imparting healings and imparting gifts. They're going to impart doctrines of demons, these seducing spirits. So this is why we do what we do here at Rapture Ready Radio, Deception in the Last Days. This is why I do what I do here, and to warn people of what's taking place in these last days, not only on supposedly on the outside of the church, but on the inside of the church. That is, those that claim to be inside, you know, as opposed to the cults, let's say, which, you know, because there are so many heretics that are weaseling their way into churches that aren't, you know, aren't historically cults, but who are bringing heretical teachings. Now, with the time that I have left, I want to look, if we have time, I would like to look at the other individual, Bill Johnson, that's promoted in this magazine by Charisma. And again, the sub article called The Miracle Message that he has here, I want to look at that, page 26 of this Charisma magazine. The Miracle Message: is the assignment Jesus gave us bigger than just preaching salvation? For as long as I can remember, the message of the church has been the salvation of souls. Perhaps it is the beauty of that message that has lulled us to sleep, this is Bill Johnson, concerning the rest of our assignment. It is bigger than that. The word save in the original Greek language is sozo. It refers specifically to the forgiveness of sin, the healing of diseases, and the deliverance from torment. That is salvation, according to Bill Johnson. Jesus made the provision needed to save the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. Now, in reference to that Greek word soza, I'd like to read some comments from Dave Hunt's ministry, Berean Call, and this is from an article a few years back. Actually, this article is pretty current. It's from this year, 2017, but this might be a repeat article. But anyway, the history and structure of sozo is the name of this, and let's just look at a little bit more about what Bill Johnson is talking about here. Sozo is a psycho-spiritual deliverance and inner healing methodology birthed out of Bethel Church in Redding, California. But though the Bethel Sozo website banner says a ministry of Bethel Church, the frequently asked question section disclaims the Sozo staff are independent contractors and are not Bethel Church staff. Apparently, for legal reasons, no one wants to call this counseling or therapy. Rather, they simply call it healing prayer, and yet they strongly recommend a suggested donation for receiving prayer, for which recipients, sozoes, must first sign a waiver. For background, it is interesting to note that Bethel was once an Assemblies of God church, and Bill Johnson was an Assembly of God pastor. But he led his flock out of the Assemblies of God in 2006 to join the New Apostolic Reformation River Revival Movement. Johnson is now a self-appointed apostle, and his church is now a part of his own Revival Alliance Network, co-founded with Che On, who I mentioned earlier up at Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, John Arnott, Catch the Fire in Toronto, formerly Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, the Toronto Blessing Place, and it says, although Sozo got its start at Bethel, other Sozo groups have spun off, such as the Freedom Resource, TFR, headed by author and executive director Andy Reese. They publish their own manuals and presentations on how to use Sozo. It says, this particular style or format of ministry has evolved and continues to evolve from roots in the Argentine revivals, the understanding and writings of various practitioners of inner healing and deliverance, and from the experience of several churches and individuals, including Randy Clark's ministry, I mentioned Randy Clark earlier, and Bethel Church in Redding, California. Apparently then the system is very adaptable, malleable, and open-ended. But one thing appears clear. Something else is needed in addition to God's Word and the Holy Spirit. As Reese acknowledges, Sozo has evolved and continues to evolve. From where? From God's Word? Are the Scriptures ever changing? No. Sozo comes from roots in the Argentine revivals, the writing of various practitioners, and from the experience of individuals. Such a description can lead one only to the inescapable conclusion that these evolving techniques are adapted from man's own inventions, not from the inspired Word of God. Now the next heading, Bethel Sozo, Redefining Salvation? Question mark. The Bethel Sozo website appears to redefine salvation, just as Bill Johnson did, as I read out of that article in Charisma, I think, not as an accomplishment of Christ at a moment in time, but as a process of perpetual deliverance with the help of their tools, of course. The Sozo ministry is a unique inner healing and deliverance ministry in which the main aim is to get to the root of those things hindering your personal connection with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sozo is the Greek word translated saved, healed, delivered. Sozo contains the whole package of being made whole or well. And that's, again, as Bill Johnson said in that miracle message. At the very least, this confuses salvation, or the purchase of God, with ongoing sanctification of the believer, which comes as we mature in the Lord and respond in obedience to His Word. The Sozo tools, according to Bethel, become part and parcel of a believer's journey to complete the salvation, or Sozo process. This subtle shift in terminology raises a critical question. In what then does Bethel Church encourage believers and non-believers to put their faith and hope? Jesus Christ or the Sozo experience? The Freedom Resource website makes a telling correlation between itself and the addiction recovery group Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to move on. Six tools, six visions, six spirits. According to the Bethel Sozo website, there are six tools, psychotherapeutic techniques, that are used by the Sozo team, Sozoers, and these are the Father Ladder, Four Doors, Presenting Jesus, The Wall, Trigger Mechanisms, Advanced Tool, and Divine Editing, or Advanced Tool. By using these tools and following the Holy Spirit, wounds are healed, strongholds broken, truth revealed, and doors closed. A Sozo session may last 2 to 3 hours and is conducted by two team members. The Sozo team will sit down with you and, with the help of the Holy Spirit, walk you through the process of freedom and wholeness. Sozo is not a counseling session, but a time of interacting with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for wholeness and pursuing of your destiny. Sozo is indeed a counseling session, nevertheless. Donna Da Silva, founder of Sozo at Bethel, describes the program in this way in the Sozo Basic DVD. Our mission statement is to provide gentle yet powerful deliverance in a safe and honoring atmosphere in which the Godhead is allowed to direct our means of ministering. You will understand that when we teach you the Father Ladder, we talk about the Godhead. Most people, when we ask, who do you pray to? God. Okay, that's a good place to start, but we're going to teach you to use the tool for the entire aspect of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It sounds as though Da Silva has discovered a new way to pray, one that believers have somehow missed or forgotten that needs to be restored. Jesus gave us the model for prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, but there are many examples of prayer all directed to the Father through the Son and interpreted by the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to move on again to the next section, climbing up another way. Co-founder of Bethel Sozo, Teresa Lirbscher, elaborates on one of the program's tools. The Father Ladder is an amazing tool. It's going to get you some information into the wounds and lies really quick and easy. It's also a tool that can be used in any way, shape, or form, including once you get healed, it's going to be a tool that you'll be able to access for the rest of your life. I'm going to explain that as we go along. I use it all the time, with myself, with my friends, and a lot of time with my family, too. It's a great tool. You guys are going to fall in love with it. So what exactly is the Father Ladder? The Bethel Sozo website doesn't say. Even the available YouTube clips featuring Donna and Teresa only entice, not explain. In order to find out, you have to attend a seminar or purchase their DVD series. The basic Sozo DVD course is $105 plus a $10 manual. The advanced Sozo DVD course is $77 plus a $10 manual, which includes the continuing treatment course called Shabar, sold separately for $45. The Freedom Resource Sozo Network has authored its own set of guides and materials. The latter is a computer flowchart method of interviewing clients that is designed to reveal what has been popularly described by both secular psychologists and Christian counselors as the father wound, although it may be a wound inflicted by someone else or even yourself. In the Sozo User Manual, Andy Reese explains, we are interacting with both the person, client, and God throughout the process. We begin by asking the person to picture Papa God, or by asking Papa to give the person a picture of himself. We might say, what picture comes to mind when I say Father God? Or picture Papa God and describe him to me. Curiously, Reese says that we will use a father picture to explain the process through a mother. Our sibling picture works the same way. Our sibling picture works the same way. This is violation number one, according to Dave Hunt, or according to the article in Berean Call. Actually, it is a number two violation of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Exodus 24. He says, but where in God's word are we ever instructed to picture or visualize God or Jesus? Of course, when Jesus walked the earth, he affirmed his deity by declaring, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, John 14:9. Christ also declared, I and my Father are one, in John 10:30. However, we are also told that no man has seen God at any time. That's John 1:18, 1 John 4:12. All right, I'm running out of time. I'm going to finish this article, and then I'm also going to read from the resource page of a man that I knew many years ago, and it wasn't Abe Huber, but it was another man that I went to church with many, many years ago, who's gotten heavily involved with this and has his own, Sozo. He's a facilitator of all of this, the same garbage. And so I want to share next week more concerning this, and we're out of time. God bless you all. See you next week.